Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you. Oh, you are so good. And you're good to us. It's just sometimes, Lord, it's just hard to comprehend how good you are. And Lord, just as this week, you have reminded my wife and I both, of how involved you are in our lives. Lord, it's just so amazing to know that you are involved in our lives in every little detail. Father, we pray that this morning that you would be Lord over this time that we get into your word. Lord, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would get your word into us. Lord, help us to hear from you. Help us to take heed to what we see and hear in your word. Bless this time, please, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this morning's teaching is Welcome to the Ministry. Today, we begin a study in the book of Jeremiah, and it is so fitting because there are so many similarities to what Judah was doing and going through back then in Jeremiah's time to what the United States is going through today, these days. Just like we saw in Isaiah, there were so many things that God said to Judah through Isaiah that were applicable to what we're seeing today. Jeremiah, we're going to see it even more. Jeremiah had it depends on who you talk to, whatever, but he had at least a 41-year ministry from 627 B.C. to 586 B.C. when the people of Judah were then taken captive into Babylon, and Jeremiah with them. Jeremiah was part of that captivity, and he actually continued his ministry after being taken into Babylon. And when we get into chapter 39, starting in, I think it's verse 11, it talks about that time where he went into captivity with Judah. Most people believe that he actually continued his ministry for another 4 years, till about 582 B.C., and Jeremiah has been called the weeping prophet. We won't get into that today, but later on we're going to see why. But the deal for us, I just want to kind of give you a heads up on this. It is hard for us sometimes when we're reading the Word of God, especially in a book like Jeremiah, because it's not arranged chronologically. The Eastern mindset, very different than us in the West. Us in the West with a Western mindset, well, we love chronology, don't we? This happened, and then that happened, and then that happened, and this other thing over here happened after that. And the Eastern mindset was more focused on what happened rather than when. And certainly there are things that God gets into and tells us exactly when things happen. In fact, the first few verses of this chapter give us an exact time of when Jeremiah began his ministry. So just, you have to pay attention when you're reading books like Jeremiah to know, okay, is this, you know, at this time he's talking about, or is this at a later time? The way that the events and prophecies within the book of Jeremiah are arranged more to do with certain incidents in that than chronology. And I think it's something else that you'll find out as we get into this book, that during Jeremiah's ministry, like either 41 or 45 years, whatever you consider it, do you know that there is no record of one person ever repenting? Not one person changed their lives and gave their lives to God during his ministry. Not one convert. And we ought to be able to look at that and go, what's that mean for today? You know, that it's not always right to judge the validity or the godliness of a ministry by its outward success. It's sad that so many believers today have adopted the world's standard of success. You know, like if a business, if they spend money on an advertising campaign, and their gross income is this, and then they do this campaign, and they spend X amount of money, and then afterwards, now they're now grossing this, that company looks at that and says, that was a successful campaign. You know, that was success. We're making more money now. But God doesn't always judge success of a ministry or a minister by those kind of outward standards, by numbers. You know, and that's a thing that we have to be careful. You know, that's really never what God judges success by. It's really about how faithful is that person. How faithful is that ministry to him, to his word? You know, you think about it. Many of the cults have lots of followers. Their places are packed. And it doesn't mean, I mean, you think about it. If somebody is in a cult and the cult is successful as far as they have a lot of people there, does that mean that God is blessing that cult? Huh? Think about that. You got to take that in. What it really confirms is what Jesus said. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." It's always sad to see people, even believers, follow ungodly, unbiblical, even anti-biblical doctrines and organizations and carnal churches because, well, there's a lot of people there. God must be blessing. As we'll see through Jeremiah, this is not a good way to tell if someone or something is from God or not. I hope that through this, one of the things that happens is that we become more aware of what is success in God's eyes. Because as we're going to see, Jeremiah had it rough. And really it's how faithful he was to God and his word. And with any ministry today, are they compromising with the world? And remember, the world is under the sway of the wicked one, the Bible tells us. We have to be careful. You know, we saw in Isaiah that things were bad in Judah. And folks, they were not getting any better. Very few people were repenting as Isaiah was preaching and prophesying. And Jeremiah begins his ministry 50 years later while Josiah was king over Judah. And by the way, Josiah was the last of the good kings of Judah. They would never have a good king after that. There was a revival of sorts under Josiah. Remember when they found the copy of the law in the temple and they realized just how bad they were as a nation in God's eyes. They knew that judgment was coming because of this, so they stopped a lot of their outward sins. There was an outward repentance within that nation, but it was not one of the heart because they quickly went back to their idolatry after Josiah's death. And God, because he hadn't judged the nation, a lot of them were thinking, well, okay, Josiah's gone. You know, he hasn't judged us. You know, he's probably not going to. We can go back to doing what we like. Much like our nation and the world in general today. Because God has not brought down the hammer yet, people believe that he never will or that he doesn't exist. And that if he does exist, well, he must be okay with what we're doing, with what we as a nation are doing or what the world's doing. But like we saw in Isaiah, God was just giving Judah time to repent like he is with us today. But as we go through Jeremiah, we'll see they didn't repent and the hammer did come down. And we as a nation as individuals need to learn from history. Or you know what, like it's been said before, if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. So who was Jeremiah? When did he begin his ministry? Look at verses 1 through 3. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So Jeremiah, we see here, was a son of a priest named Hilkiah. It was a fairly common name, but he may have been the Hilkiah that was high priest at the time that discovered the scrolls there in the temple, the scrolls of the law, that caused King Josiah to weep over the nation's condition, and it led to, like I said, an outward revival there of sorts. He lived in Anathoth, which was a small city in Benjamin, right on the border of the tribe of Benjamin and Judah. He was, it's like 3 miles north of Jerusalem. And being in the priestly line, he would have been being trained to be a priest himself, but God had other ideas. You ever find out that God had other ideas for you than what you had? Huh? Oh, man, I have learned that so many times. Okay, this is what God wants me to do right here. And then you get going that way, and all of a sudden, huh? What? That way? Really? Where? I don't know about that. Okay, I'll go that way. And then all of a sudden, you're going a whole different way than you thought you would ever go. But God has a right to do that, right? Because we're His. He created us. We're His that way. But He also bought us, paid for us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes us His twice. Once by creation, another, if we have surrendered our lives to Him, then He purchased us. So He has a right to steer us, and He steers Jeremiah in a different direction than he had thought he was going to go. And we get the dates here, the 13th year of Josiah's reign, that would make it 627 BC, and then the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah's reign would be July, August of 586 BC. And that was when Judah and Jeremiah were taken into Babylon. And that 41-year span represents Judah's ministry to Jeremiah's ministry to Judah. And that's the timing, the place, and the environment of Jeremiah's ministry. And look at his calling into ministry now, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So let's all make sure we're all on the same page. Where did God form Jeremiah? In the womb, right? Now, 2 points we need to learn from that. First, Jeremiah, like the rest of mankind, was formed in the womb and not before. We aren't recycled spirits, as some of the cults and some of the false religions teach. And that's where we all began, folks, is in the womb. That's where God forms us. But the second thing, and I think most of you know where I'm going with this, we are formed in the womb. Jeremiah was Jeremiah from the womb. He didn't become a human being after he was born. God formed him, and every other person that has ever lived or ever will live, God formed them in the womb, folks. And we should protect life. God sees human life as very precious. We're created in the image of God. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, we read, this is a psalmist praying to God, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." I hope each and every person here knows very well, too, of how marvelous God's works are, how He formed you, He formed me, He formed each one of us, and He's got a purpose and a plan for forming us. He's got a ministry for each and every one of us. There's a reason why we're sucking air right now. There's a reason why we're walking around on this planet right now. God has a purpose. So God lets Jeremiah know that before He formed him in the womb, because of God's omniscience, that God knew Jeremiah and He sanctified him, which means set him apart from everybody else, and that He ordained him as a prophet, notice, to the nations, not just to Judah. And we'll see a lot of that later on. Now, what's Jeremiah's response to God's calling? Verse 6, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." The NET Bible translates it, "I answered, Oh, Lord God, I really do not know how to speak well enough for that, for I am too young." Sounds a lot like Moses when God called him, right? You know, I can't do that. In Exodus 4:10, it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And do you remember God's answer to Moses? Exodus 4:11-12. "So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Understand, folks, whatever God calls us to do, He will supply whatever we need to do it. Understand that. Don't freak out when you start thinking that, oh, God may have called me to do this or to do that. If He has, folks, He made you. He knows you, just like He knew Jeremiah and Moses and every other person that He has ever called to serve Him. And He has called each of us to serve Him. A quick read through the New Testament, you see that. But when He calls you and you answer, He will supply what you need to do what He has called you to. And most scholars believe that Jeremiah was in his late teens, maybe early 20s. And Jeremiah here, you see, he objects to his calling because he realizes he isn't some great orator, that he's just a kid, especially in the eyes of those that he would be ministering to. Now think about that. He realizes he's going to be talking to a bunch of old people, a bunch of seasoned people there in Judah. And you get kind of a clue that he respected his elders for that, because he knew they're not going to respect me. I'm just a kid. Now, I don't know how to talk to them. The deal is, as I was going over this and praying about this whole thing, it's really sad that the devil has been so successful in our society convincing our youth that their elders don't have much to offer. You notice that? You got gray hair? Yeah, you're out of it, man. You don't know what's going on. You know, pastors now have to be young and hip, you know. They got to go, you know, people got to go where other young and hip people are, kind of thing. And they forget that us geezers, we used to be young one time too, you know. There was that time. And we may have experienced a few things here or there, may have picked up some things along the way that might be useful to them. You know, one of the things that really blessed me when my wife and I first were saved back in 1976 was that we ended up, because we were like Goldilocks and Three Bears looking for a church that just taught the Bible. And we were like, ooh, you know, we ain't coming back here. This church is too weird this way. And then we go to another one. Ooh, we ain't come back here. This church is too weird that way. And when we landed at Calvary Downey, we're like, okay, all right, teaching the Word of God here. And that was our focus. We were like, yeah, we want to hear from God. And we didn't care about who was there, young or old. Now, Calvary Chapel back then was like one big youth group almost. But there were some gray hairs there. There were some blue hairs. There were, you know, people like that. And one of the songs that used to be sung back in that time was about Calvary Chapel thing, that long hair, short hair, some coats and ties, people finally coming around. Nobody was looking at what the other person was wearing. There were songs that were just kind of like a time where everybody would stand up and arm in arm, you know, and start praising the Lord, singing. And there'd be a guy with a three-piece suit, and next to some guy with cut-off jeans and, you know, a tank top, tie-dye, you know, whatever, long hair, beard. Hey, praise God. And that's the way it was. What we focused on was the Word of God, that the Word of God had to be taught. That had to be explained. We had to hear the Word of God. That was important. And Proverbs 20, verse 29, not a very popular verse, but it says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head." Proverbs 16, 31, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, if it is found in the way of righteousness." But praise God that he does use young people, right? And I'm so glad for that. You know, Timothy, we read the two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy in the New Testament. And he was relatively young as far as pastors went back then at that time. And his mentor, Paul, had to encourage him because of his youth. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And folks, that's the real main thing when it comes to being used by the Lord. It's being an example of godliness in every area of your life. Not perfect, but sincerely trying to please God and repenting when you fail. And instead of, well, you know, is this pastor hip or cool or like me? You know, here's what one of the things that God says to consider in Hebrews 13, 7. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Think about that. If you ever find yourself looking for another church, maybe after this sermon you will, but the pastor that you might be considering, or even the guy or gal that's leading a Bible study that you attend, are they really speaking the word of God? Or are they watering it down? Or are they holding back? And how does what that person believe get lived out in their lives? That's something you've got to ask. Again, not perfection, but do their lives and their homes show that their faith works? You can read 1 Timothy and Titus and see the requirements of pastors, elders, deacons, and that kind of thing. But God examined Jeremiah. God knew his heart. God knew his manner of life. And like God corrected Moses, God corrects Jeremiah. Look at verses 7 and 8. "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you,' says the Lord." So don't miss what God told Jeremiah he was to do. Go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. See, God may tell us to go where we don't want to go. Just ask my wife. You can still see her fingernail marks on the northbound side of 77 all the way from Tucson to here. Yeah. She had a ministry there. She had a business there. Our grandkids and our daughter and her family all were there. She didn't want to go. But folks, if God calls you to a place, you don't have to like it. You know, you just have to be obedient. You just have to go. That's so important for us to know. And this is another big thing where he says, "Whatever I command you, you shall speak." Nothing has changed in this area of God calling someone. We're to preach his word. That's what's going on today. It's not about telling cute stories and, you know, getting the warm fuzzies going in the room or whatever. It's to preach his word. The early church obeyed the Great Commission. We've been talking about that the last 4 weeks, right? To go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. They obeyed that. Even when they were being driven from their homes and their homeland because of persecution. Acts 8:4 says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." That's what we're to be doing, folks. And you see that all through the book of Acts. They preached the word. Paul reminded his protege Timothy that as a pastor, he was to preach the word of God. In 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And folks, it is so important. Verses like 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we won't read it, but I encourage you to go and read that in its context. We're told that the word of God is what works in the hearts of those who believe. Cute stories don't work. You know, what some psychologist says or whatever, that's not going to work in somebody's heart. It's the word of God that works in the hearts of those who believe. That's what the Holy Spirit uses to make those changes, to conform us into the image of Christ. God wants to work in our hearts, folks. And it's the word of God that he'll use to do that. And don't miss the last part of this calling. God tells him, do not be afraid of their faces. Was he sending people, and he sent him to ugly people, you know, scary people, you know? God says, for I'm with you to deliver you. Think about what that means. Jeremiah wasn't stupid, all right? Don't be afraid of their faces. God just told me, don't be afraid of their faces. You'll deliver me from them. That means I'm going to be dealing with people that will make me afraid. I'll need to be delivered from them. They're going to want to do me in. You mean not everybody that I go and minister to is going to like me? Oh, that's the ministry. Welcome to the ministry, Jeremiah. That's your calling. Jeremiah and every man and woman that God calls into ministry isn't called to tell people what they want to hear. We're to tell people what they need to hear. And what people need to hear is the word of God. That's what the world needs to hear. That's what every believer needs to hear, to know what God really says. In 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 5, after he tells them to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul goes on to tell Timothy how he was already being poured out as a drink offering. As Paul sat there in the Roman dungeon, soon to be martyred for being faithful to preach the word of God, for being faithful to fulfill his ministry. 2 Timothy was the last letter that Paul wrote. God warned Jeremiah to tell the people everything that God commanded him to tell them, and listen to how he did it. Look down at verse 17. This is God speaking. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. You know, God tells us he's with us while we're with him. And there's a lot of pastors today that need to consider this, that we will all stand before God and give an account for what we have done with the ministry that God has given us. But again, look what Jeremiah's ministry, his calling was. Look at verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. What a ministry, huh? No wonder he needed to be encouraged not to be afraid of those that God was sending him to. You know, those getting uprooted, destroyed, thrown down, folks, understand, it was because they were practicing evil and they had refused to repent. Those kind of people, folks, they won't be happy when someone comes and tells them, repent or else. They're not going to embrace you. You're not going to be number one on their Christmas list. And it's the same for our time. People Many professing to be believers in Jesus will flock to those who will tickle their itching ears, who give them just enough truth to seem legit, but never all the truth, because those preachers would lose the nickels and noses. People still get upset when they hear the Word of God challenging them to repeat. I hope that's nobody here. I hope that when you come here, on your way here, you're praying. I hope that last night you prayed, Lord, if there's anything wrong in me, like David prayed, remember? Search me, O God, try me, know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I hope that's your prayer whenever you're on your way to church. God, show me. Show me if there's something in my life that does not please you. Make it clear to me and help me to change. Help me to be pleasing to you. Pastors and elders and anyone who teaches the Word of God must be faithful to do that, to share the whole Word of God. Jeremiah was faithful to fulfill his calling, to do the ministry that God had called him to. It was difficult, but he was faithful, just as Paul the Apostle was. As Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verses 26 and 27. Remember, everybody had been warning Paul, you go on to Jerusalem like you're planning. You're toast, dude. They're going to arrest you. They're going to kill you, all that stuff. And Paul tells him there in Acts 20, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul was faithful. Folks, may you and I, every one of us, be faithful to whatever ministry God has called us to. And he has called us to ministry. Ministry is just a religious word that means service. God has called us to serve him in some capacity. Every born-again believer has been called to serve him. If you don't know where he's called you, start praying. Start praying today. Lord, show me. Show me where you've called me to serve you. And then once you know where he's called you, once you think you know where he's called you, be faithful to do that. Be faithful to that ministry. Be faithful to his word. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful as a church. We would be faithful as individuals to believe your word, to live your word, to preach your word. Father, that the world could look on us and consider the outcome of our faith, that they would see in us what you have done in us, that they would see in us, Lord, they would see you in us. Father, help us. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, we will fail at every step. Help us, Lord, to be yielded to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.